our LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me team gon' get the power, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me team gon' get the power, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power.
LSU with Carter, man. Welcome. Tomorrow is the day that we have all been waiting for. NCAA video game is coming out. And I say NCAA, it's called EA Sports College Football. I don't know if we're going to be streaming it at all. I have the game. I am such a boomer when it comes to video game streaming and all of that. I have gone on so many different cursing tirades today because the method I was using to actually do the game streaming and stuff like that is not working, but we're going to do something tomorrow. Kind of a weird dichotomy, though, over the next week or so when it comes to college football. So the big story is a video game is coming out, a video game that we have been waiting for 11 years. Right? The last one was NCAA football 2014. And now we get to here. And I don't know exactly the type of content I'm going to do. I have the system here, but we're going to do something. I do have a channel called Power Hour Gaming. I'll post a link down below. Please go subscribe to it. We'll do some video game content on there, some dynasty building, all that good stuff. But for me, it's just cathartic that this game is actually coming out. We also have SEC Media Days happening. And it just happened to be that SEC Media Days for LSU just happens to coincide for the game being released tomorrow. So tomorrow, Harold Perkins, Garrett Nussmeier, and Mason Taylor will speak to the media. And I am really excited for it, but at the same time, it's just going to be kind of boring. They're just going to go through, do their typical media thing, and give straightforward answers, and that'll be that. So you have SEC Media Days. I really don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's a bigger deal for someone like me that used to go, but I won't go into that spiel again. I like SEC Media Days just because it kind of signifies the start of the college football season. Now, we get to what was actually kind of sort of newsworthy over the weekend. Jace Thomas committed to LSU. We do have the film study that we do for almost every single committed prospect. So congrats to Jace Thomas, the LSU commit, a on-three, four-star recruit, a true safety commit, the son of a New Orleans Saints defensive back. And look, congratulations to the young man from Destrehan. Now, obviously, we'll see what happens over the next few weeks. But the big recruiting announcement that a lot of you are looking forward to is DJ Pickett, and that will be here in just a few days, I believe on the 17th, a pretty big-time five-star corner that LSU has put a lot of resources in when it comes to recruiting. Now, there's also another side of the college football coin that is out there. I felt that Big 12 Media Days was very important. Now, why is Big 12 Media Days important? Well, they're trying to be bold and cement themselves as the number three conference in college football. So you have the big schools going to the Big Ten. You have Oregon, USC, UCLA, Washington. And then, of course, in the SEC, the big story at SEC Media Days is that Texas and Oklahoma will be there. So what's going to happen to the Big 12? Well, the Big 12 has Colorado. The Big 12 has UCF and some other interesting schools. But an actual credible reporter by the name of Jason Shear put out into the ether less than an hour ago that the Big 12 is optimistic that Florida State and Clemson will join their conference. I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't. I really, really, really don't. But never say never. You know, Greg Sankey has been firm in saying publicly that he's happy with where he is right now with 16. But we'll see what happens there. So, obviously, a lot floating around in the college football ether. We will know for sure where LSU is picked to finish this year in the SEC. Keep in mind, this is the first year that there is not an SEC East and SEC West. It's just the two best teams at the end of the season play for the SEC championship. Was that a normal guy? Was that a Joshua? LA Mom was the first in the chat tonight. Hal, Tyler, lots of PHO icons are wearing the hat that Tyler made me. Tony the Tiger is in here. Very fun, diverse group of LSU fans. All different backgrounds, all different areas of the country. Good to see each and every one of you. Now, the next thing, and I want this to be unfreaking believably clear. As far as LSU is concerned, you can even make a case that the big news of the day has nothing to do with the football program at all. In fact, we have quite a few Catholic High viewers. LSU baseball might have just landed its biggest commitment of the year. And it was pretty big. William Schmidt said, look, the MLB draft is tonight. Don't draft me. So William Schmidt is a five-star can't-miss LSU baseball recruit. And he has decided to make LSU his home. Catholic High State Baseball Champion. For those that didn't know, Catholic High actually won the national baseball championship this year. And they were voted the number one overall high school baseball team in the country. Okay? So William Schmidt, the pitcher, is going to LSU. Some say it was a big surprise. Some say it wasn't. I don't know enough about him. What I can tell you, though, is there were some baseball diehards that were kind of pissed that he's not going to the pros for whatever reason. His decision, one that I obviously agree with. But this is the biggest LSU baseball or just the LSU story of the day. Of course, Angel Reese lost her double-double streak, but she's still an all-star. Who cares? And as many of you know, Paul Skeens starting the all-star game here in just a few days. Pretty cool stuff. Now, I want, obviously, to focus mainly on football, but it's a pretty big deal. He might be your Friday night guy next year. I wanted to chat a little bit about something I just dropped on Patreon, okay? You can go to patreon.com/LSU football, and I have officially given my first play of the year for LSU-USC. And I'll lean on it here. I won't go into too deep detail. It's available on Patreon if you want all my plays. I'm not a Vegas expert or anything like that, but I have done pretty well these last couple of seasons with college football. I found this to be very interesting as we move towards LSU and USC in week one. There are three schools, and I say three schools. Let me just say it like this. when it comes to betting the over, LSU and USC were both top three in all of college football in hitting overs over the last two seasons. Let me repeat. LSU and USC were top three schools nationally when it comes to hitting the over the past couple of seasons. Now, LSU hit the over in a ridiculous 12 out of 13 games last year, but what tends to lead to overs? Well, really good offenses and bad defenses, which is something LSU and USC both have. So this was very interesting, and not a whole lot of people have mentioned this for LSU-USC. The point spread for this game is still LSU at 6.5. Now, what is even more fascinating is the total was set for 66.5 for LSU and USC. That is really high. That is a really, really, really high total. All right. So why is that relevant? Well, since then, the total has shrunk down to 62.5. So we have already seen a 4-point swing in that number. Now, does that mean that this game is going to be a defensive struggle? No. Because 62.5 is still one of the highest totals in college football's opening weekend. But when it was at 66.5, I made a move. I am leaning towards this game being an over. Kidding. I believe this game will be an under for a lot of different reasons. And I shared it. Check it out for yourself on the PHL Patreon, patreon.com/LSU football, where you'll get all my plays for LSU games and just SEC games on the season. We go to Harry. Actually got Harry. I haven't sent, so he's been a Patreon member. I got a special Burrow card I'm sending him. So it actually just got in the mail on Saturday. So I will be sending it out to Harry tomorrow. Actually, I got to ship a bunch of giveaway stuff out. I needed to reload on a few items. Harry with our first super chat here. Can Blake Baker make Perkins a Tyrone Hopper times two? Okay. Really excited about what Blake Baker can do with Harold Perkins. Now, it's very important, and this is really interesting from Harry. He says, just curious what my thoughts are on Blake Baker and linebacker usage. This is very key, and I mean very key. When it comes to linebacker play, your size does matter, and Harold Perkins just isn't the biggest guy. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the longest guy, but he is extremely powerful and at the same time, extremely fast. There are some that feel his best position in the NFL could be running back because of his athleticism. But he does have the size to play off-ball linebacker. And honestly, you know, when you dive a little bit deeper into like the film and the size and all those different things, it's kind of amazing how good he was as a true freshman, as a pass rusher, just running around guys. So, yeah, I do think Harold Perkins will be a productive off-ball linebacker, but it's going to take time. And it's also at the same in the same realm, it's going to take patience from him learning the nuances of this position. So I do believe Harold Perkins will produce at a high level this year, but a lot of it is going to come down to your surroundings. You know, when you look at really good all-time great linebackers, there are very few of them that just played next to scrubs, right? Like, Patrick Willis is probably the best linebacker I've seen in the past couple of decades. Well, he played next to Navarro Bowman. He had Justin Smith in front of him. You know, most of the great linebackers, Ray Lewis, it's Ray Lewis without Tony Siragusa. You know, there's guys that surround him that make them great too. So a lot of Harold Perkins' success is going to come down to Greg Penn and vice versa. So hopefully we do see that from Harold Perkins this next year. We said to Hey. We said to Hazard. Yeah, I had the deluxe version. I will be playing tomorrow at 3 Central. I'm going to try and live stream it. Y'all went crazy. So this device I have to do the live stream kind of crapped out on me today. So now I got to figure out how am I going to get this to work. So I might not live on the channel, but I will probably record and do something. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. Okay. You're going to rebuild Vanderbilt? CT999. Harold Perkins is going to be a higher pick in the NFL draft than what they got him at right now. Yeah, so let me also address this because it is kind of along the same lines here. The first thing is linebackers just do not get selected in the NFL draft in the first round anymore. Right, if you're an off-ball linebacker, I mean, you have got to be so freaking good to be selected in the first round. So this would be my hot NFL draft take this early in the process. Okay. Yeah, I got it right here, actually. Bang. So, since Harry, you've been so supportive, I actually needed to get a Joe Burrow card I want to send just for you, since you were our last patron, our only patron of the past couple of weeks, and we normally get more closer to the season, but yeah, I'm shipping out a bunch of stuff tonight, But this would be my hottest take, that Emory Jones will go before every other LSU Tiger not named Will Campbell in the draft next year. And I think my hottest take is it would not shock me if he is the first offensive lineman taken, period, in the entire draft. Would not shock me in the least. Now, he is not better than Will Campbell. And many view him as a guard at the next level anyway. So if NFL teams view him as a guard, then Will is probably going to go ahead of him in next year's NFL draft. Once again, a lot of projecting here. And I do think guard, I think he's a perfect guard prospect, but he's a really good tackle as well. But Harold Perkins, it's going to be an interesting experiment. Because how do NFL teams view him? Let's see here. Yes, Spain did win the Euro. Big day for Carlos Alcaraz. Spain wins the Euro. England didn't get it done. I was cheering for England. Let's go to Marvis Osirio. Osirio. Everybody, welcome Marvis. I love that name, by the way. We also want first-timers to feel welcome. He says, what is the difference between left and right guard? All right. So I will give you a somewhat complex yet very simple way of looking at this. Okay. Well, this is kind of weird. Oh, that's weird. Oh, well. Wow. Wow. Did not know this. Quick announcement here. I didn't know my live wasn't going on Twitter or X. And I just got an alert saying I wasn't live on Twitter or X. So my apologies if I'm not on Twitter. I'd prefer you be on YouTube anyway, but it is what it is. Okay. And I am playing on PlayStation. So what is the difference between left and right guard? They're huge in terms of the actual playing of the position, right? A lot of it is symmetrical in terms of, like, what you need to do. But, you know, if you're playing left guard, you know, your outermost leg, which is your left leg, is the first leg that moves in your pass set more often than not. So it's huge in that it's not as easy of a transition as people think it is, right? Some aren't as ambidextrous when it comes to playing left and right guard or left and right tackle. But the truth is, they're not that much different in what you're asked to do, right? A lot of teams, if they run counter to the left, guess what? They're going to run counter to the right. Now, depending on the personnel, if you prefer doing it to the left side of your offensive line, then, of course, the reps aren't going to be symmetrical. But the truth is, they're very similar. But I think, Marvis, the more interesting question between left guard and right guard and left tackle and right tackle is which one of these is more important. And most would say the left side of your offensive line is more important because most quarterbacks are right-handed, and that is the blind side, which I do mostly agree with, especially if your quarterback is indeed younger, right? If he's not as accustomed to being in a pocket and so on and so on. But truth be told, I really don't think the importance is all that big of a deal either. I think offensive line, you just got to be solid across the way. Does one spectacular offensive lineman really move the needle for you? Yeah, it does. But if you have one really good offensive lineman and your other four aren't good, you're going to have a bad offensive line. In fact, if you have three all-pro offensive linemen and your other two are rookies or journeymen, whatever, you're probably not going to have a good offensive line. So I think sometimes people overrate if the left side is more important than the right side. But is there a difference? Yes. Left tackle, usually the better pass blocker. Right tackle tends to be the better run blocker. Yeah, I could see that as well. But welcome to the channel. Was I to Cliff? I know he's playing NCAA tomorrow. Brian says the interior of LSU's offensive and defensive lines will determine the season. You don't necessarily need an elite secondary. Just serviceable. I do agree with that. I do. Now, one thing I do think is interesting, I do think when it comes to quarterback height, it does matter, like how good your guards and tackles are. If you have a shorter quarterback, the middle of your offensive line just has to be better because they can't see over the line anyway. You need guys that can really get into a defensive lineman so, you know, he can't jump and get in the passing lane or whatever. Shorter quarterbacks, I feel, are more affected by rush up the middle. So, you know, you go back, you look at how the Saints spent, you know, a good bit of their money during the Breeze tenure. It was a lot on the offensive line interior. So it's a very important, fun debate. And ultimately, what makes a great offensive line is your quarterback. I still think we as a football community seriously underrate the importance of the quarterback position and the offensive coordinator or whoever's calling the plays on the quality of your offensive line. Great play callers can scheme around bad offensive line play to a certain degree. And it may not necessarily be like scheme. It could just be them being able to outsmart defenses and make those offensive linemen think that their job is important for a play to succeed when it really isn't. You know, someone like Lane Kiffin is really good at this. He runs a lot of zone blocking to the left, but it's a pitch to the right. And it works every single time. And the brilliance of that is your offensive line doesn't really need to have a single great block on the play. It's the design of the play that is blocking the play. And I always find that to be fascinating. Pegasus says you can hide a bad guard a lot easier than you can a bad tackle. Do I agree with that? Once again, it depends. I think the answer to that could depend on your tight end quality, because a good tight end can definitely help with your offensive tackle quality. For the most part, I do agree with you, though. I really do. I do. Now, coming up right after this, one very, and I mean very interesting development that happened with a recruit that LSU is after, and it really flew under the radar with the Jace Thomas news. That's coming up right after this. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top 5 pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. So, Derek Meadows decided to push his announcement back. I feel he is doing it on Saturday. I believe that's the date. And this is a guy that LSU's after. 6'6", wide receiver, is supposed to commit on Saturday. But now he's moved it back. So, Derek Meadows, someone LSU believes they could get. I still think Notre Dame's a school to look out for. They've been the one that's recruited him the most from start to finish. But we'll see. Some felt LSU was going to pull off the double and get both Meadows and Jace Thomas over the weekend. But that's not what happened. So, very interesting. We were so into the Jace Thomas commitment. Big shout out to my guy Blake. He was the one that broadcasted it. It was really well done. And I highly recommend you go check out my Jace Thomas film study. You should. Now, are you Joe Brady coming back to LSU? Tank, what's good? I believe that's Tank's dad. Okay. Add you on PS5? Really, Kedrick? Add you? I don't know how to do that. I just got my PS5 a few weeks ago. I'm still learning how to do all of this. CT99.9 says, I like hot takes, very entertaining stuff. I'm good. I'm glad. I'm glad I'm here for the entertaining. Now, one thing I do want to address with the head coaching rankings that are going around, Brian Kelly is mostly number two. I think most people have BK number two behind just Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart's got to be number one. And I think after that, it gets interesting. Now, I say all that because do I feel Brian Kelly's number two? I'm fine with him being number two. I think, obviously, the gap between Kirby and everyone else is pretty wide outside of, you know, when it comes to Grand Theft Auto or... but, man, I still can't believe Georgia players speed as much as they do. But truth be told, Brian Kelly being number two is fine. I think it's you can have a lot of different people at number two. I can understand putting Kalen DeBoer there. I can understand putting Steve Sarkisian there. I can understand putting Josh Heupel there if we're being honest. And I understand I have taken a lot of heat for my Tennessee love. But one of the more correct takes that I ever had was before, not this past year, but the year before, I steamed up Tennessee. I was like, Josh Heupel is truly special. And I felt last year they didn't have the right quarterback. But now I feel like they do. So I find him to be very interesting. And obviously, I just think it's a lot harder to win at Tennessee than it is at LSU. So we'll see how it goes. I won't go into, the Kentucky rant again, but, you know, Eli Drinkwitz has a good shot of moving up these rankings. But Brian Kelly as the number two coach in the SEC, I think it's I think it's a very fair ranking. Now, does he need these defensive hires to pay off in a major way? He does. He really, really, really does. But Brian Kelly being number two in the SEC, I think is about where I would have him as well. Let's go to Jerry in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Your girlfriend said she's going to change me into an Iowa fan. Really? Mm-mm. Can't do that. Can't do the LSU-Iowa crossover. Of course, we have our football connection to him, and then obviously our basketball connection to him. But we'll see. Josh Heupel got exposed just like Chip Kelly's offense. Exposed in what way? Good point by Chance. If you give LSU Iowa's defense, you might have won yourself a playoff. Let's see. You know, one thing I wanted to get to towards the end, but I'll go ahead and get into it today. I'm going to mark it down because I wrote it in my pre-show prep today. But another one of the Louisiana three-star wide receivers that didn't go to LSU but turned into an NFL legend, Jacoby Jones, passed away. Very tragic. Died today at the age of 40. So Jacoby Jones from New Orleans played at Lane College. I still don't even know where Lane is. It's a D2 school. And you know, obviously he's known for the Baltimore Ravens. He had the 108-yard Super Bowl kickoff return, and then he had a big catch versus the Broncos in that same playoffs. He also almost won Dancing with the Stars. But, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how much wide receiver talent comes out of Louisiana. It is unfreaking real. I mean, Jacoby Jones was that guy. Great return guy, great wide receiver. Dude played hard. And he passed. So I wanted to give him his flowers, another great Louisiana legend. Let's go to Harry, who super chatted a little bit earlier. 2023 Missouri defensive front versus the 2024 LSU front. Who is more talented? So, let's see. I think you're referencing the 2024 LSU defensive front. Yeah, I would say Missouri because they had, you know, someone that went in the first round to the Arizona Cardinals, whose name slips my mind. And Five was a good player for them as well. They were just good. They were really good. And if you really, the 2023 front, if you were to go watch the Georgia game, they really stalemated the line of scrimmage quite a bit in that game. And that was one of the big games that really sold me on Blake Baker, the Missouri defensive performance on the road in Athens. And yeah, it's crap. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. I remember all their DB names. I can't remember. Chris Abrams, Drain, Rake Straw. I mean, they were a fun defense. Tyron Hopper, we talked about earlier. But he wore number 6, I believe. Either way, God, that front was good. They were really good. They were a scrappy, physical bunch. And what makes it even more impressive was they lost Mekhi Wingo. And Mekhi Wingo was supposed to be on those fronts. And they were still good both of those seasons. Crazy. Darius Robinson. Let's see here. Wait, what's located in Jackson, Tennessee? Let me know. Man, Jacoby Jones, man. Electric. Absolutely electric. This one comes in via Twitter DMs. Carter, I'm missing the Twitter stream. It is crazy. My Twitter numbers do really well. Once again, I prefer you watch it on YouTube. So I do get a Twitter DM. I'll exit it out. Let me make sure I get the name correctly. This comes in from Mark, who says, is there anything at SEC Media Days you're looking forward to? From the LSU guys, not really. I mean, you know, with Brian Kelly, it's year three. You know, we're going into year three. Year one was a little bit different. And then going into year two, we kind of knew what the team was. And year three, you know, I just, when it comes to SEC Media Day storylines, and even from like a neutral observer, when it comes to fascinating teams, you know, for me, LSU is always the most fascinating team because it's my team. It's the team that, you know, I cover and I'm a fan of, I graduated from. But really, there are so many more juicy SEC storylines than us this year from a neutral vantage point, right? Normally, the biggest stories are the teams with new coaches. But not only do you have some pretty marquee teams in the SEC with new coaches. You have, obviously, Alabama. You have Texas A&M. You also have two new schools, right, obviously in Texas and Oklahoma. So, yeah, I just think we're just kind of, when it comes to intrigue and storylines, we're just kind of in the middle. And you kind of like that, right? Because as a team, you know who you are. You have a decent idea what your identity is. You have a good relationship with your coach. And you're able to just focus in on football. You know, at Alabama, there's just so much buzz about what all of it is going to look like. Same thing at Texas A&M. You know, there's so many distractions at Texas and Oklahoma right now. But to me, the biggest story in the SEC, the biggest story is Ole Miss. They've got to be. Yeah, I think it's either Ole Miss or Missouri. We have two non-traditional powers that have very real paths. I've never been able to say paths. That's a tough word to say with an S. Paths to the college football playoff. Ole Miss and Missouri. Schedule for both of them are on the weaker side when it comes to the SEC. Missouri has the easiest SEC schedule. Not only this year, you can make a case even for next year because the SEC schedule is just repeating in 2025. They return their quarterback. They return a five-star receiver. The only issue is their defense fell apart because obviously had a lot of draftees and Blake Baker went to LSU. Okay. But to me, Ole Miss is the biggest story because I think it's kind of overblown if Kalen DeBoer is going to be good or not. If Alabama goes 8-4 or 7-5, which they won't, but if they do, I don't think it's that big a deal. They've got five stars already committed for 2025. Five. So I just don't think it's that big a deal with Kalen DeBoer. Same thing at A&M. They know it's a process, right? But Ole Miss and Missouri, I mean, their chips are pushed to the middle. And Missouri went out there, spent, and got that Oklahoma offensive lineman. We know what Ole Miss has done to get Walter Nolan, Robinson, a bunch of other defensive players on that side of the football. They return their number one quarterback. They return their number one wide receiver. They get LSU's RB1. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. So it's a good question mark on Twitter. But to me, the biggest SEC Media Day storyline is Ole Miss. How does the media view them? And where are they actually going to go? What is their team actually going to look like this year? I do believe they're going to be pretty good. I do. Now, here's what we are going to do. In the next 10 to 15, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Harry, I'm including this Racy McMath auto with your cards that I'm sending you. Okay. I thought this was interesting. Had to delay the so Lionel Messi's playing a final. It was set for 7 p.m. They had to delay the start to 7:30 because fans rushed the gates and like thousands of fans bulldozered security, and they're all in there without tickets. And the funny thing about it, and what makes this story so freaking wild, is it's not even Messi fans. It's mostly Colombian fans. There's so many Colombian fans in Miami, which is wild. Absolutely wild. Let's see. I'll show you this. This is via Eric Rayweather. Make sure music's off so I don't get copyrighted. These are the LSU Tigers. Look at those jersey combos. They got the all white, purple with the white bottom, white, gold bottom. I love that combo. I like all white. Not a big fan of the white, purple, white bottom. The one combo that I hated, and I don't ever want to see this again, is the gold helmet, white top, white bottom. I think we wore that versus Army. Don't ever, no, please. Please shelf that. Please. I can't do it. Jerry Berry flying in. The white unis. With the white, yeah, I like that. White with the white helmet. I think that was the most overblown story. I don't think it was dumb. I understood why he did it. But here's the thing I don't get about this, you know, with the NBA stuff. Is so, like, there was an interview that so for those who don't know, Jalen Brunson did not take, like, the maximum amount of money. He took less money so he can give more to the rest of the team because they changed the CBA and all that stuff. But this is the thing I don't get about why people were mad about it, because they're like, well, players shouldn't be taking discounts because owners don't take discounts or whatever. It's still so much freaking money these players are making, especially in the NBA. They make so much money. It is by far the best professional sport to play. So much money. For a sport where majority of the games you play aren't high-profile games. I mean, it's insane how much money they're making. Like, Jason Tatum did an interview with the Graham Bessinger, and he's been living a lavish lifestyle. He said he was able to buy a six-figure watch. All right, it's a big thing now with, like, the richest people on the planet. It's, they like buying these $300,000 watches. So he was able to buy one of these watches, and he said, I didn't even need to use my salary money. He was able to live this crazy, lavish lifestyle just with endorsement money. So they make so much money, they don't even know what to do with it. Now, I understand a lot gets taken away with taxes, and you got to pay the agent, and yeah, you got to help whoever. I get it, but it's still a ridiculous amount of money. Ridiculous. Jared coming in hot. Gold, purple, gold looks worse to him. I'm fine with gold. I'm fine with gold, purple gold. I am. Arthur Tulane game. Who is it in the SEC that plays Tulane this year? I think it's Oklahoma. I wish we played Tulane this year. You know, Tulane's metrics were kind of interesting. Not a heavily penalized team this past year, but they didn't throw as much as I thought they were. Let's go to Jerry. Welcome to the channel, Jerry. He says, y'all are sleeping on athlete DB Juwan Johnson at LSU. He was Gatorade Player of the Year and National Finalist Player of the Year. Mr. Football for Louisiana and broke two 20-plus year LHSAA records. So, welcome to the channel, Jerry. Good to see you. Love a good smile. I think we talked about Juwan Johnson quite a bit, and maybe we should talk more about him. So my question to you, Jerry, is when you say y'all sleeping, are you talking about sleeping as a potential year one player? You think he can help the team right now? Because that's bold, right? It is hard to play Division I, Power 5, college football as a true freshman, especially one that's playing a new position. So, and Harry, thank you for another super chat. Look at that. Yeah, I can't wait either, Harry. But yeah, you get the Racing McMath part. Congratulations. So are you saying you think he can be year one? And then the second thing I would say, because you could be referencing like sleeping as in, you know, we're sleeping on him as a long-term answer in the LSU secondary. The second thing would be where is his best position? Is he a safety? Is he a corner? Or is he a slot wide receiver? You know, the DB will be something new for him. And that's not me saying he didn't play some DB at LCA. But it's really a jarring change when you go from high school to then playing just defensive back at a far higher level. So, I might be sleeping, but he's good. He's definitely good. And his high school film is ridiculous. A lot of fun to watch. Jared with the super chat, really appreciate you. Let's go to Jerry. He says, I do believe he could be a year one guy. He's going to play star. So Jerry, looks like he knows Juwan. Okay, tell Juwan he's got a wide open invite, as does any current LSU player, to jump on the channel whenever. He's 202 right now, and it was clocked at 21.6 miles per hour. Really fast. So, just give a little context here. Let's start from back to front here. And Jared, you get to pick the next topic. And as always, if you're a first timer, I spend even more time on your questions because I want to welcome you into the PHL community. So let's start with the 21.6 miles per hour. So this might be the most common question that I get. When LSU players train, they all wear this bra. And this actually comes from like the most random amount of viewers, people I didn't even know watch the channel. And they're wearing this sports bra because it tracks their movements. That's why they wear it. And LSU uses that data for training and development, and it really is a fun thing. So that is what clocked him running 21.6 miles per hour. which is almost as fast as a Georgia DB and a Charger. But 21.6 miles per hour is pretty fast, right? It's I'll put it like this. There are some people that do their own variations of MPH testing of high school players. Anyone that can get north of 21 miles per hour is really fast. Really, really, really fast. So 21.6 is really good, right? 202 is very interesting, right? Obviously, it's not, you know, the biggest, but that is a huge step from where he was. Because in high school, he just wasn't a really big guy. So it's good. He's adding some, hopefully it's really good weight. Now, I'll be honest with you, Jerry. I did not, and I'm finishing up, I get my own grades on Patreon of every single player. I didn't have a year one grade on him, but I did like him, right? Now, I'm also, and this goes to anyone that watches the channel for the first time, it's really hard to get a year one grade. And once again, it's just my opinion, but it's just that Division I Power 5 college football is really freaking hard. It's really hard. Now that you say it, I feel better because I value your opinion. And I also find this, and I say the star part of this to be the most interesting. So star is basically the nickel, the slot corner. But it is different because, you know, last year, Major Burns didn't play that position at all, but now he's playing that position, the star. So it's good to see that Juwan Johnson is getting some reps here because that's a very valuable position. Very important position. And I there are some smarter film guys on Twitter that I follow. If you play a lot of four-man locked-in fronts, which I think LSU will do a lot of, your nickel corner becomes that much more valuable for a lot of different reasons. So I am really excited about this. But to not get too like deep into the weeds here, the nickel corner, star, money, whatever, it serves different purposes in different defenses. But you all kind of sort of basically in the end do the same thing. You're guarding slot receivers a lot of the times. Now, once again, it depends on what's actually happening, but you got to be able to blitz. You got to be able to cover. You got to be able to willing to take on tight ends that they'll put in the slot for size mismatches. You got to be a gamer to play that position. Got to be a competitor. But Jerry, thank you so much. I really appreciate you, and welcome to the channel. Here's Jared Super Chat. So Jared donated $5 for us to talk about his weight. He says, I've gotten so fat they could time me with an hourglass. That's so funny. That's good. Jared, of course, currently getting over surgery. Let's go to Jerry. Finish up here. We'll go on to something else. He threw for 14,000 yards in high school. Started since he was a freshman, went to championship ever. His ability to process and versatility as an athlete will be his advantage. Remember this message. Well, Jerry, there you go. You are the president of the Juwan Johnson fan club. So if he does go off, you can come back and say, hey, I remember when I went on that dude's channel, he has 11,000 subscribers and told all of LSU Nation that Juwan Johnson was going to be a year one diamond in the rough. I hope you're right. I really do. I view him more of a year two potential, like kind of special teamer. But Here's a good thing, you know, Jerry, if you know Juwan or if your friends are from Lafayette, and if you're a fan of his, the good thing is two things as far as his year one chances. From what I've heard, LSU's coaching staff respects the veterans that decided to come back to LSU. A guy like Sage Ryan, who also is from LCA, who entered the portal and decided to come back. Okay. So LSU values that experience. They do. However, this is just a little confirmation bias because this is how I want them to do this. I've also been told on good authority, though, they are open to change. In other words, even though the secondary returns a lot of guys from last year's unit that wasn't good, this is a brand new defensive coaching staff. Brand new. They will be willing to make changes. So you got a brand new staff, brand new DC. That is always a good thing if you're a true freshman because it's tabula rasa for a lot of those guys. They're coming into this with a clean slate. They're saying, look, we are going to do what's best for this team. We're not going to play the seniority game. So that's a very good thing for anyone young. And that goes for Rogers, Singleton, anyone in that secondary that's young. Obviously, PJ Woodland's capitalized on that. So we'll take a few more. Once again, if you super chat, we'll keep it going all night. Let's go to Mick. He says, I still don't get the mile per hour thing. I want someone who can accelerate and change direction super fast. Last thing, Juwan Johnson, good relationship with Corey Raymond. Very interesting. King Ulysses, LSU's single season sack record will get broken this year. All right. Two different things. Are you talking about team sacks or are you talking about individual sacks? I believe the individual sack record number is around, 12.5 or 13.5? But to King Ulysses' point, there has not been a single LSU Tiger in the modern era that has had double-digit sacks outside of Arden Key. Let me repeat, there's not been a single LSU Tiger outside of Arden Key in the modern era who has had double-digit sacks. Now, are sacks overrated? Yes, they are. Oh, is my audio out? Type Y for yes, type in for no. If my audio's out. If you can't hear me, type Y for yes, type in for no. Okay. So, King Ulysses out of nowhere. I thought he forgot about me. Okay. So Arden Key does have the sack record with 12. That is crazy to think that since 1995, he is the only one to have double-digit sacks, and he had 12. I'm telling you, he is the most underappreciated LSU player. So, the first thing is, who do you think will break it? And obviously, the answer to that would more than likely be Braden Swenson. He would give you the best shot. Or Deshaun Womack. But I would also tell you that you know, if we had Bijo Ojulari and Harold Perkins for that full season, and we really did have him for the full season, so can't really use that excuse. We weren't playing Perk early, but we really only didn't play him versus Tennessee in the very first game versus Florida State. But this is where sacks become an issue, is that a lot of your sacks come down to quarterback quality. And, you know, I've not really done any sack projections. I normally wait and do, like, stat projections closer to season. But to King Galicis's point, there are some semi-favorable sack games here. USC's Miller Moss, not a big guy, not really a fast guy. Nichols is bad, so you can pile up sacks. At South Carolina, you're playing Lenore Sellers. That is a first-time starter. Young, only a year two player. Now, he can run, so he's difficult to bring down. But that also is a very sackable quarterback. UCLA, first-year head coach. They do have a good play caller in Eric Bieniemy, but on the road in Death Valley, that could be a very sackable game. Then you have South Alabama, bye week. Ole Miss, that's just not going to be a very sackable game. Experienced team, gets the football out quick. So there you go. At Arkansas, also not really a sackable game because Taylen Green is 6'7", very athletic. He can also run, experience. At Texas A&M, very sackable game. Connor Wigman likes to sit back there and really let things develop. He's not afraid to take a hit. Bye week, Jalen Milroe, very sackable quarterback. Very. One of the worst at holding the football too long. Same thing with Graham Mertz. Not very nimble. Vanderbilt, also very sackable. And Oklahoma, they couldn't protect a soul versus Arizona and Jackson Arnold's only start. Of course, a lot of the Oklahoma offensive linemen opted out or transferred for that game. Arnold took a lot of sacks and took in a lot of pressure. So you might be onto something. You might. The issue is, do we have the talent to pull that off? Do you? This is interesting. Kind of important. Jordan Addison, Viking superstar, arrested for a DUI. Another professional athlete. Can't get a driver. This is via the LA Daily News. Officers responding to the area reported a white Rolls Royce blocking the number one lane of the freeway with the driver asleep behind the wheel. No bueno. You all right? Arden Key does have the record. Jared, your cousin. But yes, Arden Key, Very, very, very underrated. Chance just read that the NCAA didn't keep a record on sacks until 2000. Very interesting. Now, we'll take a few more here. I love it when you guys come in just with a bunch of hot takes. Once again, if I could figure it out, type Y for yes, type N for no. Do you want me to do a video game stream or a video game just game on this channel tomorrow? Type Y for yes, type N for no. I kind of just want to do it on here. This is a link to my gaming channel. I don't know if I want to build a brand new channel. It's so much work. I kind of just want to stream from here. Jerry to watch. Cliff says he'll be playing. Ooh. Wow. Oh, okay. Hazard, I'm going to give you the business, man, on the channel. You're not going to be ready for it, bro. Can't freaking wait. Big thanks to our top super chatters of the evening. Harry wins out. Thanks to Jared. Don't forget, we'll have... We will have the podcast posted pretty soon. Don't forget, we post all our shows. iTunes, Spotify, leave a 5-star review. I'll talk to you soon. Big congrats to Carlos Alcaraz winning Wimbledon today. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. See you guys tomorrow for some gaming. And tonight, we are doing something. I don't know. Let's go. Let's go.